I've been thinking a lot about this whole idea of the favor of God and how we seem to go through these seasons in our lives when we really sense the Lord's favor and everything seems to be working well, and yet there are other parts and times of our lives when it doesn't seem to quite be working, and we cry out to God, "Where are you, Lord?" So I'm hoping this morning that the Lord will give us some tools to help us to live more in his favor, but also to recognize the times when it's tough, that his favor has not left us. And it's about character building during those times of difficulty. So to help us do that, I'm going to frame three questions. How do I live in the favor of God and people, because the two are linked? How do we as a church enjoy more of God's favor amongst us and amongst the people that we meet outside of our church building? And I want to propose to you this morning that the favor of God is linked to the success of mission. And we'll look at some of the early church's experience of doing mission and working and being in the favor of God. So, the main passage we're going to be looking at this morning is Acts chapter 2. Verses 42 to 45. Now, that's in the New Testament part of the Pew Bibles at page 50. 150, page 150. So if you want to follow where we're going this morning, that's the passage to go for. But what I intend to do is also to pivot other passages around this main one so that we explore and expand this whole concept of God's favor. So just to give you some background then to the passage. So what's happened? Jesus has been resurrected. He's gone back up to heaven to be with the Father. And he's sent the Holy Spirit on the believers, on the disciples, as they've been in this locked room. And they've been in there fearful of the authorities and depressed and discouraged because, although they've seen the resurrected Jesus, they just don't know what's happening. They're waiting in anticipation, but in fear and anxiety as well of the folk outside of the religious authorities. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit comes. There's a loud sound which draws many, many, many people who are in the city to the house. There's a downloading of the tongues of fire on the disciples. And then it ends up with Peter preaching an impromptu gospel in the power of the Spirit. And at that point, 3,000 people become believers. And they hear the word of God and put their faith in Jesus Christ. It's an amazing wham-bam story of God's power coming upon the church, upon those believers, and equipping them to preach the gospel and to spread God's word throughout the land. So that's where we get to. This has happened, and so you've got all these believers now gathering together. And Acts chapter 2, verse 43 provides a summary of what was going on amongst them. So let's read that. From verse 43, many miracles and wonders were being done through the apostles, and everyone was filled with awe. It's interesting that the Good News version of this passage starts with that. Other versions start with other phrases. But there is a thing about the awe of God being almost paramount amongst the believers. And there's many signs and wonders being done through them. And all the believers continued together in close fellowship, and they shared their belongings with one another. And day by day they met as a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts. So you have a picture here of a close fellowship, even though there's 3,000 of them. They're all meeting in individual homes of, let's say, 30 to 50 people. So you can imagine there's about 100 of these separate little gatherings going on where people are breaking bread, they're praising God, and they're all enjoying the goodwill of the people around them. The Good News translates the word there in Greek, which is charis, as goodwill, but it actually means in this context favor. So they're enjoying the goodwill or favor of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. So out of this unity of group of the group gathered together, and out of this sharing and fellowship and the awe and the presence of God, you then get this active mission happening. And every day people are being saved and being added to the church. So before we look at that a bit more detail, I just want to explore a bit more about the around about these words of grace and favor. Now, in the Bible, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, the word, the root word for grace and favor is the same one. So in the New Testament Greek, it's charis, and in the Hebrew, it's chen or chen. And the ancient writers don't distinguish between the two, but we have different, in our language, they do mean slightly different things. And so in our translation, we have the word translated either as grace or favor, depending on the context of the passage. And that's how they would have used it in ancient times as well. If you'd used that word, in one context it would mean grace, and in another context it would mean favor. And the difference is that in those passages where the word is translated grace, it's to do with that unmerited act of God on our behalf. So grace is given. It's a free gift. It's something we receive from God if we're willing to say yes to him. The same thing applies to favor, but favor is actually something we walk into. It's gained. It requires more of an active participation on our behalf to enjoy the favor of God and the favor of people. So just to flesh that out a bit, it's by God's grace that we have been saved. So if we make a choice to follow Jesus and to welcome him as Savior in our lives and to thank him for his death on the cross for us, that's by grace of God. We can't, by works or by our own efforts, ever earn the grace of God. That's something that is a free gift from him. And that is for everyone. So no matter what place you are in life, whether you're rich, poor, whatever ethnic background you come from, whether you're from Gorebridge or Nitton, you know, wherever you come from, whoever you are, that free gift of grace of God is available for you. And all you have to say is, yes, Lord, thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for saving me, Lord. And so you're adopted into this family where we have this loving, wonderful Heavenly Father who just loves to have his children in his arms, on his lap, in his presence, just to shower his love. No more than that. So that's grace, and that's what that all means for us. But favor is slightly different, and favor is about us making the choice to walk out our purposes for God in his kingdom. So each one of us has a mix of giftings, of talents, of abilities, and character traits, and God is just longing to use all of those things for the purposes of his kingdom. But he doesn't impose himself on us and make us do these things. He's looking for workers for the harvest, basically. He's looking for people who are about to say yes to God. Shape my character, Lord. I love the gifts that you're going to give to me, Lord, and I want to use those for the benefit of your kingdom. And each one of us has a role working together as the body of Christ to further God's kingdom and to be engaged in the mission of the kingdom to reach those that don't know Jesus yet. But it's a co-laboring thing. It's God calling us and giving us his Holy Spirit the power to do that. But we have to make the choice to say, yes, Lord, I'm wanting to be molded into the shape that you want me to be for your purposes. So I'm hoping that gives you some kind of idea of almost like a nuance of difference between grace and favor. But there's something else at the root of this word, particularly in the Hebrew, that word chen. There's an element of hierarchy in it. And I know that's not the best of ways of describing it, but basically if you can imagine the Hebrew God, the God of the Old Testament, was seen as being very holy, but he would dispense favor on people who he wanted to work through, like Joshua knew the favor of the Lord. Moses knew the favor of the Lord. Samuel knew the favor of the Lord. And the idea in the word, there's a lot of Hebrew words are to do with movement, physical movement. So the idea behind this one is that there's a physical move of God to dispense favor. It's a bit like this image here, which I, it took me ages to find an image which actually represented this idea of favor. Actually, I don't vote for David Cameron, by the way, just in case you wondered. I'm not telling you who I vote for because you'll chase me out of the building. Anyway, David Cameron and yon fellow from the States, Barack Obama, they're here, they're barbecuing meetup. And I guess, do you all remember this image? I think so, yeah. So there's some squaddies there getting fed, and it's almost like they're coming down off their pedestals. They have this position as leaders of superpowers, or at least the Barack Obama is a leader of a superpower, and they've stepped down from their position to dispense grace and to serve these troops who've been at war. It's interesting, I haven't got the one there with the ladies who are making the salads, so I don't want to make any comments about that. But the men are there, they're doing the grilling bit. We like to barbecue. So this is the idea of God stepping down from his position to dispense favor to those that are at a lower level. But what happens when Jesus comes? Okay, in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. And there's a whole list of things in there about proclaiming good news to the poor, setting free the captives. But at the end of that passage, it says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, year here is not just like it's one calendar year. This is more like to do with era or epoch. Okay, it's a part of almost out with time. That God is now sending Jesus to be amongst us. So there's a difference here between a God who is in his heavens, who is so holy that to be in his presence means that you get burnt up. And only Moses, when he climbed Mount Sinai, was able to come into the Lord's presence. And none of the rest of the Israelites were holy enough for that. They would have got zapped. And so, but now when God becomes flesh in Jesus Christ, he steps down the hierarchy. He doesn't just bend down in the original Hebrew idea of bending down to dispense favor. He actually steps down to become one of us. And the Bible talks about Jesus emptying himself of all of his rights as God. He gave up everything and took on the form of a servant. So Jesus became one of us at our level. And that's how we can enjoy the year of the Lord's favor in a far more abundant way than they ever anticipated in the Old Testament. Because the idea of this favor of the Jubilee year of the Lord was that debts were canceled every 7 years, and there was a big debt canceling every 70 years. But it was very much concentrated on the here and now. The idea of the Hebrew salvation was very much, it's prosperity now, it's prosperity and salvation in this life. But by stepping down into our life and dying on a cross for us, Jesus releases far more than just the here and now. And there's an eternal dimension that comes to this year of the Lord's favor. So when we step into that and say, yes, Jesus, I accept you, I want to walk out in your favor, we're saying yes to eternal life, we're saying yes to that favor and that jubilee year of his presence coming into our lives now and forevermore. It's an eternal life starts here. And so we have a foretaste and a down payment, if you like, of the things of eternity, that heaven and earth, that new heaven and earth, that great banqueting feast with Jesus that we're going to enjoy at the end of time when we go with him. We're going to enjoy some of that now, down payments of that now. And that's because he stepped down to our level. So that's the big picture of favor. and the time and the era of favour that we live in just now. But as individuals, we also need to grow in the favour of the Lord. There's some great passages in the Old Testament about the heroes of the faith having the favour of God, and Samuel is one of them. He continued as a boy, he continued to grow in stature and in favour with the Lord and with people. But it's very interesting that Jesus also had to grow in the favour of the Lord and in man and with man. Now, I reckon if Jesus had to do that, then we have to do it. Because he came to live the complete human life. He came to experience everything that we experience. You know, the joys and the sorrows, the temptations, the heartache, the hurt. So part of God's favor is coming and experiencing all of that. But Jesus still had to grow in favor. So it wasn't a done deal that, okay, here's God sending his son and he's like the complete thing. He just starts off completely formed in every aspect. He actually had to take the path that we all have to take, which is growing more in God's favor and having more of God in our lives and making that daily choice to say, yes, I follow you. Yes, I lay down the things of my heart, the selfish things, the things which I see, my agendas. I want to lay those down and have more of yours, Lord. And that's what Jesus had to do every day in order to grow in the favor of God and of man. And boy, did he end up having plenty of that favor. You know, I want some of that. Do you want some of that this morning? Do you want some of the favor that God's working, that Jesus had? You know, when a sick person would come to him, he just said, oh, be healed. And that was it. They just left. Healed. You know, I would like some of that. I would like to say a word to somebody and then that word, and that, you know, about God, and for that person to say, yeah, that, wow, that really hit me. You know, I believe in Jesus because of that word that you said. You know, it's having that grace and favor and that power of God working through us. So how do we get more of that? How do we step into that greater realms of favor? Because I believe this morning that for each one of us, there is a greater level and realm of favor that we can walk into. No matter whether you're coming here this morning saying, thank you, God, everything's smoking, it's going wonderfully, I really feel your presence and your favor on my life. If that's you, then I'm praying, get some more. But if you're here saying, oh, you know, I haven't heard the Lord for a long time, I feel like I'm under the cosh, it's not going very well for me, then I pray that there's a word for you this morning as well, and that as that word comes, it carries the favor and presence of God into your life. Because there is such a thing as the favor cycle. No, that would be quite good, wouldn't it? You just had to spend some time on your bicycle, and then God would, as you exercise, God would download more favor. What I'm talking about here is these seasons of life that alternate from one kind of set of circumstances to the other. And the psalmist in Psalm 30 talks about, you know, oh God, thank you that your favor lasts forever. Your anger lasts only a moment. But then the next, you know, he'll say something like, your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. So everything is going well. But then, almost like an instant, things turn again. Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. And so this psalm kind of encapsulates the life, really, the human life and the human experience, that God is unchanging, and his love for, and his grace are unchanging. But there are these seasons where he requires us to dig in, basically, when it gets tough. And if you're digging in this morning, then be assured that it's a season of digging in. And if you allow God to mold you and craft you into the person he wants you to be through this difficult period of your life, then boy, will you come out the end of that, because the promises in his word are that you will know the favor of the Lord. So maybe if you've been trying to share your life story with somebody and they're just not interested, and they're not coming anywhere near the Lord, you know, stick in there, because that's the right thing to do. And there will be a season of favor when some of those things start to fall back into place, and you will see things happening. 2 Peter, book of 2 Peter, Peter talks about gaining character strength through perseverance. Sometimes we have to persevere through tough times, and God is looking to us to see how we do that. Because if you're not in the right place in your character, then it's almost going to be a problem for God to download favor. So if you're over here and God's got favor, which requires your character to be there, he's not going to download it there because it's not going to be very good for you. So that's sometimes why, you know, folks like us have to spend years learning how to take services and to preach and to do all of that kind of thing. Because if you just had all the favor of God at the start of that process, where's the chance for you to develop as a character in order to be a suitable receptacle for that increased favor that God's got for you? So we're going to be on this, we're all on this direction, if you like. It's like a helix. It's not quite a cycle, but it's a helix where we're starting here, but we're going up, and we oscillate between times of character development and difficulty where God is saying, you press into me here so that I can grow your character. And there are times when he's saying, well done, I'm going to pour some favor on you here for this situation or whatever aspect of life that you're in. And so we'll oscillate between those, but with the direction or the trajectory, if you have it, is up the way for more favor and more of God's presence. I've been listening a lot to a guy called Bill Johnson, who runs a church in Redding, California, and we had the opportunity to do a wee nip over there for a few days just to kind of suck up the atmosphere and sit under his teaching, because I think he has some words for the church at the moment in this time and place. And it's interesting that his story of ministering really starts off with not much happening at all. And over about 30 or 40 years, he's begun to see, you know, people getting saved and people getting healed and people getting transformed in their lives. But that's almost like on a 50-year time scale. And at each point, the Lord has kind of developed him further and has given him points of difficulty where he's had to really dig in deep with the Lord. And times when he's, you know, he's held healing services and nothing whatsoever has happened. But he's just kept going, he's kept going, he's kept going, he's kept going. And just say, yeah, Lord, it's main and plain in the scriptures that you want to do this amongst your people. So I'm just holding out for that. And so now in services, you know, they get people healed of colon cancer and all of that kind of thing. It's just amazing what goes on there. But it has been a very, very long journey of constantly seeking the Lord's favor. And sometimes we want everything now. You know, we're in many parts of the Church of Scotland where there's a desperation for the new thing because people can see that the old stuff has got a shelf life. And there's a temptation just to go for it, you know, immediately and say, well, if we put that in place, then everything's going to be fine. But there's a need to just press into the Lord's favor and to think of it over the long term. You know, quite a lot of my colleagues here in Midlothian just talk about being in it for the long term, being in it for decades rather than just years to see the Lord's favor. Because he wants to know that we've got the character and dedication to live with and to hold what he places on us. And what does he hold? What are we called to hold for Jesus, to hold for the Lord? Well, I want to paint for you an image this morning of the priests in the Old Testament times and the time of Moses in the desert. The Lord's presence was in the tabernacle, and it was in the Ark of the Covenant, which was held within this tent, within the tabernacle. And the mercy seat of God was above the Ark of the Covenant. And only the priests were allowed to carry the presence of God. Because as I mentioned earlier, everybody else would have been completely burnt up if they'd been in the presence and the holiness of God. So they carried the presence of the Lord on their shoulders from place to place. But now when Jesus comes, he says to us, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because I have been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor." So that's the life of Jesus. The Spirit of God is carried on his shoulders. But what does he say at the ends of the Gospels when he's about to launch his disciples? He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And Peter talks about us being this priesthood of believers, that we now, the priesthood is not the preserve of two or three people anymore. It is the whole of the body of Christ. We're all holy people, holy priests, royal priesthood. And what does that mean? That each one of us is blessed by God to be carriers of his presence on our shoulders. So not only do we have the presence of God's Spirit within us as Christians, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, but Luke 4 tells us that the presence of the Spirit of God is upon us. It's a slightly different thing. We carry the presence of God. So wherever you go this week, you need to know that you are a carrier of the presence of God. You're a priest of the presence of God. That on his shoulders, you're walking in the favor of God. And the more you walk in favor, the more he will give you in terms of carrying his presence into places. So you can be atmosphere changers. Atmosphere changers for God. You can go into a situation and rather partnering with the atmosphere that you encounter there, is say, "Actually, God, I don't think this is of you. I'm carrying your presence here. So Lord, change this atmosphere." It's amazing when you start praying those kind of prayers, what happens in the places. So there's a place of work where everybody's arguing, or there's a lot of anxiety and fear in the room, you can go in there with the presence of God and say, "Lord, change the atmosphere here to one of your peace and your grace." So how do we walk in more favor as a church? Well, some of these things I've already talked about, but I think there are a few keys here in this passage, and one of them is to be united. Passage talks about all or everyone meeting together. And it's being devoted to teaching and to fellowship. So it's coming under the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to change us as we hear it and as we read it. And fellowshipping with each other. The book of Hebrews says, "Do not give up meeting with each other." Because in that fellowship and in that meeting, there is an awe and there's a presence of God. Breaking of bread, eating, sharing meals together. And prayer, I've highlighted that. There's so many places where the favor of God is ushered in by praying priests. And as priests of God, we have that intercessory ability to draw down heaven amongst us. And so Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians about prayer, that the prayers of the people in the church in Corinth were actually opening up doors of favor for him in mission. And we want more of the awe of God amongst us as well. It's not simply good enough just to preach or just to speak out the word of God. We need God's presence to be carried in those words as well. And we're exploring in this church what that means in terms of authentication and signs and miracles and wonders. That's what they're there for primarily, is to say, "Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the words of God. And now I validate that by proving that I am here by a healing or whatever it is." And it's great fun to press into more of that. There's a sincerity and a passion that we need as well to work together in unity to see more of more of God's favor. And of course, worship. In different settings, the believers worshiped in their household groups of 30 to 50 people, and they also worshiped at the temple. So there's different levels of gathering together and of worship, which all opens up avenues for God's favor to be on us and to be on the people surrounding us out in the community. That's what worship does. It's a service which we do here on behalf of the community to allow God's favor to break in. But I'm just so excited at the moment about what's happening in this church. In the 2 years that I've been here, there has been some remarkable stuff happening. I've just been following up some of this stuff. Many of you remember I did a mission audit last year of what was happening in the church and how we could perhaps do more in the community to communicate God's love. And a lot of those things which were kind of like germs and initial things within that mission audit are now coming to fruit. So the things like the recycling project that Agnes and our team are running at the moment, it's just doing amazing things. Every Tuesday there's 40 to 50 people come through the doors at the back there, and the project raises £200 to £300 a week for community projects. And it's supporting a CAP, a Christians Against Poverty worker for Midlothian. Our contribution from the church is supported by the money that's coming through there. And it's great just to go in there and to spend time with folk. There's now coffee's been restarted. There's a wonderful time of where people just have a chance to be here amongst us, enjoying the favour of God. And there's favour on the conversations as well. I mean, people have been invited onto the Alpha course because of contacts in the recycling project. That there's a hunger, a spiritual hunger out there, a favour for mission, which is now just like a river pouring over us as a church at the moment. And it's wonderful to be in that. Apparently, this is the biggest Alpha course that the church has ever run. And we've got over 25 guests coming. And already we're beginning to sense God's presence in the Alpha course. And it's just wonderful how conversations are opened up. And people who have maybe haven't even thought of anything to do with religion or Christianity before are going, yeah, I never thought of that. And you go, yes, yes. And yes, we need to be careful about how we communicate God's love to people, how we communicate the gospel. But actually, it's more to do with a reliance on the Spirit to achieve that, because God promises in his word that when we have to defend ourselves or have to speak on behalf of him, the Holy Spirit will give us the words of truth in order to do that. And so it's as much stepping out in faith in some of these initiatives, going to the recycling and stepping out in faith that God will bring somebody of need into your orbit which you can share a word of life with that he will give you. So it's not quite... it's not really about training yourself up to say things in a particular way or to be trained in mission. It's just actually relying on the presence of God to give you the words that you need for that moment. And Jesus sends out his disciples in Luke chapter 10. That's the 72 that get sent out in pairs to different villages and houses. He says, look out for people of peace. And what's meant there is that people who are open to God and open to you being there. And so that's a work of God that draws you to a person who he's got highlighted, the spotlight's on them, and he draws you to them in order to share words of life. And that's what that means, a person of peace. It's somebody who is open to hearing about God. And so we're praying this morning, I think, for discernment for all of us, that we'll be able to pick up on the people of peace that might come into our locality, if you like, and where there's opportunities for us to share some of Jesus' love. Recycling, there's Alpha, but there's also Little Sparrows as well, and I've just been speaking to Carrie about how that's grown from strength to strength. That's a mother and toddlers group that was started up a year ago, and they have an average of 30 to 40 people coming every Tuesday. They've reached their max, they're absolutely filled up, and they can't take any more. So what they're focusing on is improving the quality of the experience that the folk get when they come. So there's a health visitor now who's going to come and start doing things with the young mums, teach them about weaning and all kinds of information exchange. And so it adds to that the benefit on the usefulness of that whole ministry. But I mean, these are just three things which have highlighted this morning. I mean, there's a kinship carers group which has grown from strength to strength. And, you know, the favour of God is to some extent measurable, that we can see things growing. we can see more people coming to know Jesus. We can see more people healed, delivered, put right, restored. And it's wonderful. But we need to keep our focus in unity on seeking more of his favor. And seeking more of his favor individually through the tough times in life, and more of his favor corporately as a church as well. And so before we go on to sing our last hymn, I just want to try and capture some of these thoughts in prayer as we pray for others, pray for ourselves as well. So we just ask you, Lord, that you would come just now by your Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Lord, as you've been here all service, but we welcome you here to start speaking to us, Lord, about the areas in our lives as individuals which need a fresh touch of your grace and of your favor. I just declare life, wholeness, and the Lord's mercy upon any one of you this morning who are struggling and to whom God feels distant and uninterested in your plight. Be assured that he is not. He is not. He has you in his arms this morning. And maybe that's all you just need to hear. That's for you this morning. That God has you in your arms. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, but he has you. And if there's any kind of sticky situations, like log jams, which just aren't moving at the moment in your life, I pray for a mighty rush of God. I just had the picture really of the river flowing, of a dam breaking, that when the water of God comes in sufficient quantity, it breaks the log jam. You don't actually have to clear the log jam yourself, but just pray into it and say, Lord, I'm holding out for the river of your Spirit and of your favor just to bust up that log jam, to get things moving where they're stuck. So I declare that word as well this morning, if there's any of you who are feeling that that's for you. But Lord, we also want to thank you for all that you're doing amongst us as a church. I thank you for the unity that's so palpable when you go to Little Sparrows or the recycling project or into Alpha, of people working together as teams to see your glory and to see you breaking in and to see lives changed. And we thank you for these ministries. Would you bless Agnes and her team at the recycling? Would you bless Carrie and Maggie and their team, the Vet and Avril, in the Little Sparrows? Would you bless Alistair, Evelyn, and Mark and Diane and the rest of the team leading Alpha? Lord, that we would see more of your favor on these things. Grow them, expand them. We're excited by the prospects, Lord, of what you're going to do over the next years. We praise you, Lord, for what you have done, but we cry out for more yet, Lord, more for your glory, more, Lord. And we also want to extend our eyes out with our own fellowship as well. Draw people from this community to know you, Lord. Send out your healing grace and your mercy on this community. Bring prosperity. For those that don't have jobs, bring jobs. For those that are sick, bring health and restoration. For those that are just oppressed by the evil one, bring deliverance. And Lord, we want to bless and ask your favor on every ministry which seeks to do these things in our nation. We pray for all the projects going on in churches which seek to alleviate poverty and suffering. We pray for Alpha UK and Alpha International. It's amazing that that ministry now has 119 countries under its wing. And there's 19 million people who have gone through Alpha. It's 122 different languages. It's just awesome how you've blessed Alpha, Lord. So continue to expand that and bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through those courses, not just in this country, but across the world. And Lord, we pray for any group that seeks to bring comfort and a sense of belonging to those that are lonely in our society. Perhaps it's single mothers or single parents or it's elderly people living on their own. Lord, would you bless our pastoral care team as they seek to bring comfort to those that are alone, bereaved, and suffering. That friendly face and loving hand. We praise you and we thank you for the work of our pastoral care team. And we pray for all pastoral care teams, for those that visit and care for the vulnerable, the lonely, and the elderly, and for those that are like single mothers who are very, just needing a touch of your grace and your presence, Lord. So, Father, we thank you that you are here. We thank you that mercy and favor does not stop at these doors, and it covers this nation, and the prayers of a righteous person can have great impact and great effect. And so we go forward in faith, knowing that our prayers can make a difference in this land for you, in this community, and in this church. And we raise these up to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.